Hey, thank you to Helix for sponsoring this podcast. Adam has had his Helix mattress for almost a year now, and he's loving it. It's actually hard to get him up. In fact, he won't stop talking about it. You'll understand what we mean when he goes into detail. Thank you for the detail, Adam. Later on the episode, but for now, we want to tell our listeners about a special deal going on. Our Sleepy Time Pal Helix is offering up to 30% off all mattress orders and, as if that's not enough, two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/Paula. That's helixsleep.com/Paula. This is their best offer yet, and I'll bet it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.
The detective came and knocked on the door, and I said, "Is it Renee?" And he just gave me that solemn look.
It was the worst day ever.
The Proof Podcast is back with a new case and a new season. 23 years ago, 18-year-old Renee Ramos went missing. Her body was later found in an empty Home Depot building on the edge of town.
I don't think that they arrested the right people. It's about time somebody's trying to do something.
She had a black eye about 2 weeks before she was murdered.
They are involved. They definitely had her body and her backpack.
You know people are going to judge you, right?
Of course. They're judging me now. They've been judging me damn near my whole life.
You can listen now to Season 2 of Proof, wherever you get your podcasts, and follow along with us as we reinvestigate the murder at the warehouse.
I have to ask, did you kill Renee?
Hey there, nobody listens to Paula Poundstone listeners. It's me, Paula Poundstone. Adam is not with me right now. I needed to talk to you alone before the show starts to tell you about a test I'm administering on the hair care product Herbal Essence. They claim online and on the Herbal Essence collection gift box that their products have an irresistible fragrance. So on this episode, I'm testing that claim without Adam's knowledge. I've used a healthy amount of Herbal Essence Argan Oil of Morocco conditioner before arriving at the studio. Now, during the show, I will make note of whether Adam can resist me. Let me begin by saying he's always been able to before. We don't sit right on top of each other in the studio, so I will occasionally lean towards him to give the fragrance a fair chance. But since you, the listener, won't be able to see that, I will use the code phrase, "I'm having so much fun right now," when I lean towards Adam. All right? I gotta go. Here he comes.
From the Ray Horseman Studios in North Hollywood, California. Welcome to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, your comedy field guide to life. Thanks to house band Craig Eastman on that low fiddle. Today we've got a special treat for you, a Thanksgiving vacation show.
In order to enjoy all the pie we can eat on Thanksgiving, we're making this shorter episode without guests.
Now, we're saying shorter in advance, but I will caution everybody that Paula Poundstone is on this podcast.
Yeah, I can't promise it'll be shorter. Right. Less encumbered. Let's say less encumbered.
Less encumbered by guests and actual information.
Guests getting in the way.
With their knowledge.
If you're going to have guests at Thanksgiving, you know the feeling. You know, guests. After a while, enough with the guests.
Yeah, we should get down to the family fighting that so unites us every year.
Yeah.
So now, Paula, it is Thanksgiving week. Do you have anything special you're doing for the holiday, or is there anything that you're grateful for? Do you want to thank for any giving?
Not really.
Nothing
that I can think of.
Okay. Well, that turned out to be a dry hole. Maybe this will be a short show.
Am I grateful? Yes, I have my health. Isn't that wonderful? I've got some cats. I have my health. That's good. No, I am not a Thanksgiving person. I don't mean that.
You're not saying you're not a thankful person.
Right. That's right. That's exactly right.
The holiday Thanksgiving does not appeal to you.
I do not do Thanksgiving. I have in the past many times. But when my kids came along, We began a tradition on Thanksgiving of having, let's see, Tweety Bird-shaped waffles made in a waffle iron that had Sylvester on the outside. So there's a certain macabre. So it looked like...
Yeah.
Yeah, it looked like
why
Sylvester.
Why was that a Thanksgiving tradition?
I don't know. Why not? So we used to have waffles for Thanksgiving, and then we go to the movies, which is, I believe... if Thanksgiving was ever real to begin with, which it wasn't, but had there been an event between the pilgrims and the Native Americans, and they had a choice, they too would have had waffles and gone to the movies.
They had no such choice.
No, they had no such choice. But the event is just silly.
I don't
like the stress. There's the only thing worse than having your own Thanksgiving is going to someone else's.
Right, because you're a stranger inside their milieu.
It's too much pressure.
You
the
are
whole
just
thing
turning
is too
this Thanksgiving
pressure.
Special into a one-way ticket into darkness.
No. Yeah. No, what I'm saying is I really enjoyed, A, the day with my kids not having school. That was fantastic.
Sure. Okay.
Although I'm really sick of people taking, Monday through Sunday off.
I'm doing that this year.
Meal, for heaven's sakes.
Well, no, we're going to New York to visit New Jersey to visit my sister.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's one meal. Thanksgiving is one meal.
But it's a time. It's a season.
It's not a season. It's one meal.
Right.
It's not intended for a whole week's vacation.
Jesus' birth couldn't have taken more than 90 minutes, and yet we have a whole Christmas season.
No, she didn't dilate right away.
She didn't?
No, there was a problem with that.
So it was a whole season of labor?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that makes it less joyous in a big way.
That's why they had to go way out. That's why the North Star took them so far.
Oh, okay.
Because, they had to go way out. That's why they wouldn't let them...
They had time to go out and pick up more myrrh.
That's why they wouldn't let them in the inn.
Yeah.
They were already hearing the moaning, and they're like, you know what? Yeah,
why don't you go to the barn?
Yeah, the guests in the inn are not going to appreciate all that moaning.
All right, we've now digressed from a digression.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, you know what I'm thankful for?
Do you have any idea how many pastors just turned off the podcast right then?
We just lost our pastor demographic, which we'd been working very hard on building up.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I'd been going door to door or church to church.
Church to church, yeah.
Trying to build up my pastor demographic.
And now we've ruined it all. But, speaking of Thanksgiving.
Yes.
We have a Thanksgiving-themed movie, or a movie that involves Thanksgiving, as our review of a movie so that you don't have to see the sequel segment, which we're doing later in the show.
Yeah, yeah.
Our cunningly titled sequence.
What's it titled again? What's that segment called?
I think it's we watch the original movie when the sequel's coming out and let you know whether you should see the sequel with Paula and Adam.
Yeah, that's the name of it.
Yeah, that's what we're calling it.
Yeah,
you know what else I'm thankful for this Thanksgiving, Paula?
Oh, are you thankful for something?
Theme songs. They are the gift that keeps on giving. It's like acid reflux after shoveling turkey stuffing and yams and bourbon down your hatch on Thanksgiving Day. We've received a bunch of new entries, and
they're
kind of spreading out the floor a little bit. This one from James Crawford from Kitchener, Ontario, came with a note. You want to hear a note?
Yeah.
I'm a bald guy with glasses, and I absolutely love the podcast. It's a big hit with everyone at work. Also, yesterday I left my phone at work, and when I went home, it was playing your podcast, so there was no one at work listening to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone
for
about
perfect.
An hour. So let's hear what a bald guy with glasses salutes in his song.
Well, Adam Felberg on every episode of Paula Poundstone. Hit new podcast show, she brings us genius, life-changing wisdom. She makes us laugh, and he's on the show. Oboes and tubas, guitars to spare. Next time the house band might be a bear. Well, Tom is cold, he will not save us, but Adam Felberg is always there. Nobody's listening, nobody's listening, and nobody's listening to Paula Poundstone. Listening to Paula Poundstone.
Wow.
Okay,
that's
great.
That is nice.
There's some things I like about that and some things I don't really like about that.
I hear a little Freddie Mercury influence in that.
I don't hear any of that. But I will say that we did. Here's something I like about it. We did mention to the crowd out there, our audience, that they might want to spread the floor a little bit musical style wise. There's still some styles unexplored, and getting that nice little bluegrassy thing was really nice. I thought
no, it was beautiful.
One thing I didn't really respond to is he seems to have picked up on the thing that we were talking about a few weeks ago when one other listener pointed out in the only reference to me in that previous theme song was Adam Felber's on every show.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it seems like people on Twitter are picking up on this, and even it's even crept into the theme songs, in further theme songs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I want to make clear, I don't consider that a particularly great compliment.
But you are. You're on every show.
Right, but yeah, you get called genius and you give great advice. And
yeah, but you're on every show.
Well, so are you, and nobody points that out.
Oh, well, you don't have to.
Right. I would think me being on every show should probably go without saying, too, to make room to say other things about me, perhaps?
Not necessarily, because, you know, we have a different house band each week.
Yeah?
Yeah. We have different guests each week.
I don't see how you can
dress
this bug up. But Adam
Felber's on every show.
The amount to which this delights you just makes me sadder. Okay, let's move on. Harry Orlov from Los Angeles, California, gave us a bluesy approach, which I love this. This is kind of like a Chicago-style blues.
People listen to the news, people listen to the blues, people listen to the breeze blowing gently through the trees, people listen to their friends when they're feeling all alone, but nobody listens to Paula Poundstone. Oh, nobody listens. To Paula Poundstone.
Oh, and that evil, screaming Hammond B3 organ sound with the Leslie cabinet at the end.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Yeah, I thought you did. So once again, Harry Orlov, thank you so much. I will point out that you have fallen into a common pitfall, common in that it's happened twice now, with our theme songs.
Not a huge amount of data points there.
No, but we only have so many theme songs. In that you claimed that you could listen to it on the radio. Which, in point of fact,
yeah.
You can't.
Yeah.
We're not a radio show.
It's a podcast.
I know, and radio is a tempting word for any songwriter because it ends in a nice, you know, nice open vowel.
Yeah.
But
well, you know, the problem with podcast is...
it ends with a st.
Yeah.
Nobody likes the word.
It's hard to rhyme something with podcast.
Yeah.
Of course, you could say cast a pod, and that seems odd.
Roz Chat. There's Roz Chast.
Roz Chast.
Yeah, the legendary New Yorker magazine cartoonist.
Yeah, but what does that rhyme with?
A little bit like podcast. I would go with podcast
Roz Chast.
Absolutely. In fact, if you're out there listening and
you
can
know
work
what
Roz
rhyming
Chast
means?
Into a...
Do you understand what rhyming means?
I do understand what rhyming means.
Were you so smart that they didn't make you go to preschool?
No, I went to preschool.
No, you didn't. You didn't go to preschool. No, because we used to.
Is a perfectly acceptable podcast rhyme.
It doesn't rhyme.
Oh, listeners, if you're out there, support me. Work Roz Chast into
it. You know what? If Roz Chast is listening, could you get in touch with me through Twitter and point out to Adam that Roz Chast does not rhyme
with
podcast.
It's not a perfect rhyme. Chast rhymes with cast, unmistakably, right?
Chast rhymes with cast, yes.
Yes. And Roz and pod, they're not...
Not remotely!
remotely. It's the same vowel sound, a different consonant. I would look.
Roz
Craig,
and pod.
Do you write songs, Craig, or musician Craig?
Sure.
Would you rhyme podcast with Roz Chast if you needed to?
Yes.
Yes, he would. He said yes.
Yeah. He also has a heroin problem.
He doesn't have a heroin problem.
No, he doesn't. I made that up. I was just kidding.
It's an alleged thing.
I was just
kidding. All
right,
we got one more. We got one more great entry. It's from Gwen Hay from
Entry,
Denver.
Which also rhymes with...
Century.
Murgatroyd.
No, it rhymes with century. Wow. Gwen Hay from Denver, Colorado sent us this great tune.
Paula Poundstone is a genius. Nobody believes it's true, but Paula Poundstone is a genius, and she's got advice for your crew. Paula Poundstone is a genius, and Adam Felber is there too.
Oh,
he's getting mad in the booth, but she's got advice for you. Paula Poundstone is a genius, but nobody listens to her. All her advice is ingenious, but nobody listens to her. But nobody listens to Paula Poundstone. Nobody listens to Paula Poundstone. Nobody listens to Paula Poundstone. And Adam's there too.
Oh, Wow. Even though I was there at the beginning, I'm also an afterthought in that team.
Yeah.
That's kind of amazing.
That really went. You know what? That touched me on a very deep level.
What part of it touched you?
Paula Poundstone is a genius.
Yeah. Yeah, Gwen Hay was really sucking up to you there. I do appreciate it. For one, we had no rap or hip hop kind of stuff happening here on this on our.
Would you call that rap or hip hop?
It's you know what it feels like to me? It feels like the early 90s art hip hop stuff. You know, sort of like you know, those bands that you love so much, like
the early 90s art hip hop.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. The early 90s art hip hop. Which also rhymes with French toast.
Look, I'm not saying it's a perfect rhyme. And I will also say, Gwen Hay, you managed to just, you know, insult me twice, the beginning and the end. And again, I know you don't think it's an insult, but
no, the it's I'm not. There it's too thing. Give me all sorts of credit.
For just being there on every show.
The Professor and Marianne.
See, that's the thing.
Yeah.
It's not even the Professor and Marianne, it's and the rest.
Did it say and the rest?
Well, in the first two seasons, I think, of Gilligan's Island, they didn't name the Professor and Marianne. It was Gilligan, Skipper 2, the Millionaire's Wife, the movie star, and the rest.
Yeah. Which.
Here on Gilligan's Isle.
Yeah. Which, the rest and Gilligan's Isle. Do you hear the rhyme?
All right, we're going to move on. Hey, Paula, it's been almost a year now since I got my Helix mattress. And as you remember, there was some drama surrounding Helix mattresses.
Because
First sponsored us, Bonnie took the mattress. And she's been loving it. But finally, I got my chance to get a Helix mattress. And I sleep so well. I mean, the family bed is where we all gather. We watch movies in our room occasionally, and everybody just piles on it, and it's comfy, and yet when one person hops on, the other half of the mattress doesn't fly up. I'm a fan.
Well, you know, Adam, everybody is unique, and everyone sleeps differently. That's why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from, each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. Models with memory foam layers to provide optimal pressure relief if you sleep on your side. Models with a more responsive foam to cradle your body for essential support in stomach and back sleeping positions. Plus, enhanced cooling features to keep you from overheating at night. And if your spine needs some extra TLC, they got you. Every Helix mattress has a hybrid design combining individually wrapped steel coils in the base with premium foam layers on top. It is the perfect combination of comfort and support.
I agree with that last bit. I don't get all the technical stuff about the mattress, but it is soft and supportive. Helix offers 20 unique mattresses, the award-winning Lux, which I got, and ultra-premium Elite Collections, the Helix Plus, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, and the Helix Kids mattress, designed for growing bodies and endorsed by child sleep experts, and my daughter now wants one. So, how will you know which Helix mattress works best for you and your body? You go to their website, take the Helix sleep quiz, and you find your perfect mattress match in under 2 minutes.
You know, when you said you can't follow all the technical stuff, it's really not that technical. You know, no matter what way you sleep, they have a mattress that will support and comfort you. How hard is that?
You know, when you say it that way, it seems a lot simpler. I take it back. That's my boner.
And your personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door, free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress.
Well, I like that there's a warranty, but they can pry that mattress from my cold, dead hands. I took the sleep quiz. I was matched with the Helix Midnight Lux. I got the Lux. And I love it. It is such an upgrade from my old mattress.
You know, I think Bonnie got the Midnight Lux.
She did.
Too.
Yeah.
You're not here. Don't want to take Adam's word for it? Well, you got Bonnie's word. Helix has been awarded the number one mattress picked by GQ and Wired magazine. It's even recommended by multiple leading chiropractors and doctors of sleep medicine as a go-to solution for improving your sleep. Your sleepy time pal Helix is offering up to 30% off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners.
That's a lot, and it's already not that expensive a mattress. Go to helixsleep.com/Paula.
That's helixsleep.com/Paula.
This is their best offer yet. It's fantastic. It won't last long.
With Helix, better sleep starts now. Well, not right now.
And if you're going to get it anyway,
use our code.
Hey, Paula. You know,
Every once in a while, we get a new advertiser that I get super excited about. And I have to say, just because of the circumstances of my life, right now, I'm really excited about our new advertiser, Quince, of Quince.com, the clothing provider.
Not to be mistaken for Quince from Midsummer Night's Dream. And let me just say this, and maybe it's not important to an advertisement, but when I was in the fourth grade, our class put on a production of A Midsummer Night's Dream.
Okay.
And I played Peter Quince. There's the connection.
One of the mechanicals. That's a great connection. Also, yes, has nothing to do with this, which is that Quince is an online clothing store. And as you know, Paula, I've lost a little weight lately.
Oh, right.
75 pounds. Yeah. So I literally have no clothes that are in my size until I just ordered some stuff at Quince. And I figured, like, here's a chance for me to create a new look for myself. A whole new image.
And how's it going?
Not bad. I mean, the clothes are fantastic. I know that you ordered some too. What I got is yes. The Comfort Stretch Traveler 5-pocket pants. And I got and I got the 100% European linen shirt, and it looks breezy and it fits beautifully. And these are like premium pieces of clothing that are selling for $30 a piece or starting at $30 at quince.com. It's awesome. I look good.
I ordered the brushed lounge jogger.
Ooh.
And, I put them on when I came back from New York. I pulled them on and I swear to you, okay, this is not scientific because I was tired already.
Right.
But they were so soft and so comfortable that honestly, like right as I got them up to my waist, I think my eyes closed. They're so, it's a softness. It's a kind of softness that I don't think I've ever experienced in a garment, honestly.
You know, my drawstring European linen trousers are a little bit like that, too. Like, so comfortable that I just want to hang out with myself.
Sure. Yeah. And they're European. Keep that in mind.
European. They are so European. And you can get those kinds. You can get washable silk tops. You can get 14-karat gold jewelry and, like, all these accessories.
Quince sells a lineup of timeless pieces that keep their customers looking effortlessly chic year after year. I'm not certain that I look chic, but certainly if I did, it's not going to take a lot of effort.
I now look chic and I feel pretty great. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabric. It's all good as far as I can see.
Is it my imagination or do they cut out the middleman?
They cut out the middleman, Paula Poundstone.
I love it when they cut out the middleman. That's the thing, they cut out the middleman. That's fantastic.
So be like me and Paula. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/nobody for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/nobody to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/nobody. And honestly, I look fantastic. Paula, you won't be able to keep your hands off me.
Oh, I can't wait. And don't think that if you had to return something, don't think you're sending it to a middleman because they cut out the middleman.
They cut out the middleman. That's quince.com/nobody. And if you're going to do it anyway,
use our code.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
It's now time for a segment we call Movie Reviews, and you can come up with all these rhymes if you want for these.
Thanks. It's
a segment that we call Movie Reviews to save you the trouble of seeing the sequel.
Wow.
Yeah. That's actually better than what we were saying at the beginning of the show.
That's a great title. Great title.
Now, if you're sitting there around the Thanksgiving tree right now, you probably know that Creed 2, the sequel to Creed, hit the theaters on November 19th. But what came before Creed? Yes, Rocky Balboa, Rocky 5, Rocky 4, Rocky 3, and Rocky 2.
And before that,
we've decided to review the one that started it all back in 1976, the original Rocky, a Thanksgiving classic.
It is a Thanksgiving classic.
It is. It is a Thanksgiving movie. I didn't realize that until we watched it again. I had not seen.
Yeah.
I feel like we didn't have a musical fanfare to get us into this review.
Could we have a musical fanfare to get us into? What's the name of the segment again?
It's time for Movie Reviews to save you the trouble of seeing the sequel.
yeah. Yeah. A little bit of John Williams there.
Yeah. Yes. Perfect. Perfect.
Now I feel much more in the segment.
Ooh, yeah, now I do too. Okay, the reason it's a Thanksgiving favorite, Rocky, is that their first date, Rocky and Adrian, have their first date on Thanksgiving.
Yes, they do. In fact, she's making a turkey.
Yeah.
And her alcoholic, no good, reprobate brother, Paulie, who is a friend of Rocky's, throws the turkey into the alley to get her to go on a date.
He wants her to go out, and she wants to make the turkey. He says, you want to make the turkey? He throws it. He says, you want to be with the turkey? He throws it out. And there's never any explanation for why he thought that was okay. You know, I got to say, I have to confess that Rocky 1 holds up fairly well.
It's a pretty good movie.
It's not a great movie.
No.
I mean, first of all, it should have subtitles because Sylvester Stallone wrote it. Yeah. And a lot of
it was written and directed by Sylvester Stallone. I'm sorry. Written and starred Sylvester Stallone. He didn't direct it.
Yeah, no, he didn't direct it. But
it was made on a budget of just $1 million.
That the director didn't always feel empowered to make corrections to Rocky because there are quotes in the movie that sounds something like this. And,
which is a motif that did inform the rest of Sylvester Stallone's film career.
Yeah. And at one point, I think the most, from the very start, and I had forgotten this, I kind of related to Rocky, the character, because he wears a very high-waisted pant.
Boxing shorts?
His boxing shorts were very high-waisted, and also his sweatpants.
That's true. His sweatpants were also very high-waisted. Very high-waisted. It might have been the style of the time. This is 1976.
Yeah. Well, that's... So I wear a retro cottony brief, because I love a high-waisted pant.
Cottony brief, yeah.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
I love a high-waisted
pants, too.
Pant.
Yeah.
Any kind of pants that are high-waisted.
It's all really high-waisted.
I'm happy in there. I like it to... I like my breast to hang just slightly over the waistband of my pants.
Slightly over the waistband.
Yeah. It's just a comforting feeling. Yeah.
What's funny is that, like, that's the advice that men get for what the length of your necktie should be. I have never heard that applied to breasts.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ever.
Well, it's not so much because you're not adjusting the size of your breasts.
Right, but you're
adjusting where your waistband goes.
Yeah, your breasts are going to hang where they hang.
You can't, exactly. You can't really adjust the size of your breasts, unless you have those retractable breasts that are so popular on late night television.
Everybody has those now.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're made
by Flex Seal. All right. So there was that aspect. I did relate to him a little bit in that way. But you know what I remember?
That was it. That was what was relatable.
That was where we broke after that. What I did remember about the movie, and I was absolutely right, was that the relationship with... So the girlfriend, for those of you who've forgotten, is a girl named Adrian.
Adrian, Talia Shire. She works at the local pet shop where Rocky bought his turtles and still goes there all the time because he's kind of in love with her.
And he bought his fish, and he goes there to flirt with her. He goes there every day on the way home from the boxing ring.
And she barely speaks.
Her brother suggests that she is developmentally delayed.
Yes.
That she has some
mental challenges.
Mental problems. And she wears this sort of wool cap that she pulls low. She wears cat eye glasses. And she just
peers suspiciously at everything and says nothing.
Right. And she sort of is very close. She wears sort of a heavy wool coat and just barely speaks. At one point, the boss tells her to go down and clean the cat cages, clean the litter in the cat cages, and boy, did I relate to that.
Yeah, I see another relatable thing.
Yeah. And this made it seem like she was like Cinderella or something, and guess what, Adrian? You work at a pet store, you're going to clean some animal waste, but I feel that section was in there in order to show like how put upon she was, she was...
She was asked rather in a very non-nice tone to go ahead and do that.
No, I don't think that was a non-nice tone. No,
it was like,
not
get down there, idiot.
No, well, she didn't say get down there, idiot. You're thinking of another film altogether. Okay. But anyway, so Rocky keeps, trying to flirt with her. He comes up.
I'm going to tell a joke to the animals because you won't listen to me.
Exactly.
He
talks to the fish. He talks to the turtles. One of the turtles seemed to really be turned on him. All right, so then
we're going somewhere here.
So finally he goes out with her, right? He goes out on Thanksgiving, he goes to Polly's house,
Polly throws a turkey in the alley.
Polly throws a turkey in the alley and insists that his sister, Adrian, go out with Rocky. And they go to a skating rink.
Sure.
And they hang out at the skating rink for a little while, and then they go back to his house. By the end of this one-night date...
This one date.
She's got color in her cheeks.
Yeah.
Right? She's like the hippest dresser in all of Philadelphia.
Well, she's dressed the same at the end of the date.
No. Well, not, maybe at the end of the date, but the next time you
see
her...
The next time you see her, she's a lot more fashionable.
She is in this like snappy little red outfit.
She's talking.
She talks a blue streak.
Yeah.
Her hair is totally different. It's got a sheen to it.
Rocky, you know, did that to her.
I am having such a good time right now.
Are you really?
Yeah, I am.
Why?
Just, I don't know.
It's fun. It's like Thanksgiving.
It is fun, yeah.
So, it's because there's no guest to interrupt you.
I think that's part of it, yeah.
Really what's happening.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm having fun too.
Yeah.
But no, Rocky, I guess what you left out is that at the end of the date, Rocky has sex with her. She has sex with Rocky.
Well, we're assuming they have sex. I don't know for sure.
It's pretty heavily implied.
But she never needs her glasses again.
Right.
And,
next time we see her, she's watching TV with no glasses.
Warby Parker has sponsored our podcast before, and I don't know if they will or won't again. I have no idea.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I do want to point out that if you use glasses, you could actually repair your eyes by just fucking Rocky.
Yeah. Well, I think that's pretty clear.
And
that's
then you don't have to do the measuring and try on the different frames.
All the headaches. No, just fuck Rocky.
No, yeah. I really am having such a good time.
I'm having a good time, too. Now, let me point out that it wasn't totally consensual.
This is the
part of the movie that might not have aged really well.
No, it's a little... Me too-y.
A little hashtag me too-y because first she's standing outside the house.
Right.
And she's like, I don't think I should come in. He's like, hey, you should come in.
Yeah.
He's like, nah, I really want to go home. I'm not taking you home. Come in.
Yeah.
And she comes in.
Yeah.
And then she finally lets him know, look, I'm not comfortable here. She says it very clearly.
Yeah, she does.
I want to go.
Yeah. Because by this time, she's had the speech impediment has already... disappeared.
Right. Just in anticipation of what's
going to
happen.
The first thing that she said clearly in the whole movie was, I am not comfortable with this.
Yes, I do not want this. No means no.
He literally blocks the door.
He blocks the door.
Which is a little bit Me Too-y.
I think it's kind of a lot Me Too-y.
It wasn't as bad as I remembered
it. It wasn't as bad as you remembered it. But I think when your date says, I'm not comfortable, I want to go home, and you block the door with your arms and say, I'm going to kiss you now. You don't have to kiss me back if you don't want.
Yeah, he did.
I think they thought... That's very Me Too-y.
When you think when this movie was made, that was really pretty. That was really pretty. That was like... That one section was written by Billie Jean King.
Really? That was progressive.
It was very progressive. Yeah, like, I'm going to kiss you and you don't have to kiss me back.
Right.
But of course, she does.
She does kiss him back.
Kiss him back.
And he just manages to drill some style, language ability, and fashion sense into that woman.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, the next scene you see her in,
fantastic.
She's like a babe. She's totally, she's conversing about literature and art.
She's not. There's no conversing about literature.
No, she does. And there's a point at which, by the way, she stands up. She gets in an argument with her brother at one point. They're sitting together at Polly's house and Adrian's house, and Rocky and Adrian are together. And Polly comes in and he's upset over something that he hears them say.
Right.
And they get in a big argument.
Yes.
And Adrian stands up and yells something at her brother that Adam and I both were like, what?
Yeah, we went back and listened twice more.
Yeah.
I have a very special surprise for you. Our producer, our producing partner, Tony Anita Hull, has pulled that clip from Rocky so we can play it for our audience. Now, Ray Horseman, do you have that ready to go? Let's listen to Adrian and what she says in this moment. That's Paulie. Yeah. Yeah. So at the very end of it, can we just hear Talia Shire's line again? Because it's so convincingly delivered.
Even give you my sister too.
Yeah. Yeah. And we just didn't have any idea what that was. Yeah.
Apparently the director was just over at the craft services table during that moment.
Yeah.
Nobody said, tell you, come back. What the fuck did you say?
You know, in fairness, she might have said exactly what Sylvester Stallone wrote.
Yeah.
Because I understand his handwriting was much like his speaking voice.
And
he wrote this in 3.5 days.
He wrote it in 3.5 days, but what a lot of people don't realize is that often Sylvester Stallone's fingers would come off the home row.
Oh.
And
you think it's just a typo?
Yeah, and then he would just type like,
Shire
and then
just delivering a typo.
And then he would type lines like "Hada Peter Hada."
Yeah. You know what? I have an even better surprise for you.
Wait a minute. You know what? How are you feeling right now?
Pretty good.
Oh, good.
Yeah. How are you feeling?
Great.
Yeah, this is really fun.
Yeah, I'm having such a good time.
Tony Anita Hull turned on the closed captioning on the movie. And so it's possible
that the
closed captioning...
Oh, my God. Tony Anita Hull is a genius.
Yeah, it's quite possible that the closed captioning person got this completely wrong or it's just like, you know, fuck it. I'm just going to write something.
Yeah.
But, Tony, what is this line that we just heard?
Only a pig would say.
Only a pig would say that.
Oh, my gosh.
Want to try to hear it again?
Only a pig would say
just
that.
For our listeners.
You know what happened?
Yeah.
That's a line from Charlotte's Web.
No, it isn't.
Yeah.
But let's hear it.
Charlotte says it.
I'm pretty sure she doesn't. Let's listen to this again. Let's see if we can hear her yell, only a pig would say that. Absolutely. Right? There it is. It's like suddenly it comes into focus.
But she said it like she was being chased. Only a pig would say that!
Yeah. Yeah, it's almost like she'd been threatened that if she didn't get that line out before the clock struck midnight, they'd punch her or something.
Tell you now. Only a pig would say that! Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Boy, I'll tell you what. She didn't talk to Michael Corleone like that.
No, she didn't.
Yeah, Michael, only a pig would say that!
Now, I have... I want to point out that we're I think 10 minutes into this review, maybe 15. We haven't mentioned that it's a boxing flick.
Oh, yeah.
There's boxing involved in this movie.
I thought everybody knew that already. Okay, so it's a boxing movie. Here's another thing that made no sense in retrospect.
Okay.
So a part of Rocky that I do like is that he realizes he's a, you know, sort of a two-bit fighter, right?
Right, and he's picked out of obscurity by the champ Apollo Creed, who's like, he has an opening on his schedule, he has a fight schedule, he's like, well, why don't I give some schlub a chance, schlub from Philadelphia.
And it's sort of a way of Apollo Creed making himself look like a bigger deal.
Yeah.
But they sort of pass it off like, oh, we're doing this great thing for a young fighter. And so Rocky gets his name picked out of a book, he gets this chance to fight Apollo Creed, and he begins training with great purpose.
With Burgess Meredith. Who, by the way, if you've got a movie and the most intelligible person is Burgess Meredith, that's saying a lot.
Because I need a manager, Rocky.
Yeah, I need a manager. I was finally picking the clippings in the paper. Rock, this guy's gonna wrecking machine. Rock,
you know, just and like he's the most intelligible person. It's like Popeye were in that movie, Popeye would have been the most intelligible person in that movie.
Yeah, occasionally he slipped into the penguin every so often. Rock. Yeah, at one point during the fight, when Burgess Meredith, who plays a character named Mick, he's on the side of the ring and he yells in, "Batman!" And you could just tell that he forgot for a second.
Yeah, he was very old at that time.
And the director was over the craft service table, didn't even notice.
The director was MIA for a lot of this. But you were saying something about what you liked.
All right, so what I did like, there's a scene where Rocky realizes that despite this intense training, that he's actually not going to be able to win the fight.
Right.
And he makes it his goal to go all 10 rounds.
To go the distance.
Instead of getting knocked out early. So
became one of the slogans of the movie or one of the sequels, Go the Distance.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
So he modifies his expectation. So somehow the crowd that's watching him apparently in the fight gets wind of this. They're all very excited when he loses,
right,
but doesn't fall down. They're very sad.
I get that.
But the end of the most famous scene of the whole thing,
right,
with the exception of running up the stairs in Philadelphia,
right,
the most famous scene in the whole thing is at the end of the fight, you know, his eyes have been, they cut his eyes
because they were so swollen
he couldn't see, and he's all messed up, and he's disgusting, really.
Yeah.
And only a pig would say that! And So the fight is over, you know, ding, ding, ding. Apollo Creed is the champ, and Rocky just stands in the middle of all this chaos because I don't know why everybody's coming in the ring now. And he yells, Adrian!
He starts yelling for Adrian!
Adrian! Yeah. And I just can't, can you think of an athletic event
right
that you've seen?
I'm a big sports fan, as you know.
Either the winner or the loser.
Yeah.
Stood like, who just won? Was it the Red Sox won the World Series?
They did. The Red Sox won the World Series.
Okay.
If you recorded that on your, sorry for the spoilers.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, yeah. Didn't think about that.
Some people wait till Christmas.
So was there like a pitcher or a catcher? Who was this famous, who was the star of the Red Sox now?
Well, there's a lot of stars in the
What's
Red
his
Sox.
Name one?
Chris Sale.
Okay. So would Chris Sale have ever stood in the middle of the baseball diamond and called, Mrs. Sale, Mrs. Sale? Like,
well, you
it's
make a good
weird
point.
Time to call your girlfriend.
Right.
You know,
and if you wanted to call your girlfriend, you wouldn't call Mrs. Sale.
No, but I'm saying, I'm assuming that Chris Sale is married.
I don't know.
But he just stands, Adrian, Adrian, and then she makes her way down the aisle in the auditorium or wherever.
I'm fascinated that you're so fascinated with this moment.
She comes onto the boxing ring.
What? Yeah.
She actually comes onto the boxing ring.
But there
ring.
Are dozens of people on the ring at that moment.
And she hugs him, and they both shout that they love each other. It's just, I've never seen that in a sporting event before.
It doesn't happen
you.
A lot.
I love you. I love you. It's never happened. What do you mean it doesn't happen a lot?
Well, the thing is that most.
It never happens.
Here's the thing. Most sporting events, when you see them, it's a lot of professional athletes. I think one of the poignant points about Rocky is that he is far from a professional. He can barely get a
Apollo
fight.
Apollo Creed is a professional. Oh, it was a big, huge
fight. What was he supposed to do, stop Adrian? Like, hey, that's not how we do things in professional boxing.
Oh, so you're saying that Adrian made this sports transgression because they're not experienced?
Adrian and Rocky, yeah, they're just a couple of crazy kids with learning disabilities.
And he was just disgusting, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, the idea that anybody would hug him.
Right.
You know, his face is bleeding, he's sweaty, he's yeah, no, it was, Creed is many generations away from that, Creed 2.
Yeah.
And Creed 1.
Creed is actually a really good movie.
I've
seen pretty much all of them. I haven't seen Creed 2 yet. But Creed is a really good movie. For those of you who don't follow the franchise, in Rocky 4, a half-machine Soviet fighter named Ivan Drago, I can't remember which it is, punches Apollo Creed dead. Like, that's the beginning of the movie.
Wow.
And then basically nothing else happens besides musical training montages. And then Rocky punches Drago nearly dead.
Yeah. Not totally dead, though.
And then he ends the Cold War.
Well, yeah. But what people don't realize happened with Drago after that.
Right.
He became hacking.
He became a hacker.
He became hacking the Democrats' emails.
Oh. The same guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, not sure that's true.
A lot of people don't realize
Dolph
that.
Dolph Lundgren was an actor who
played. Dolph Lundgren has been involved in the, yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay, possibly. In any case, Creed is the story.
I personally think Dolph Lundgren has something on Lindsey Graham. That's what I think. I'm just going to say it here.
Wow. Well, you heard it here first. In Creed, what happens, and you'll never hear it again anywhere else, what happens in Creed is that Creed's son is a boxer. He wants to live up to his dad's, his late father's dynasty, I guess, and Rocky ends up training him.
Oh, yeah.
And fighting cancer, I think, at some point.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because you can punch cancer. People don't realize.
Rocky doesn't punch cancer. Yeah. He just has
it. Forget the meds.
Punch it.
I'm having such a good time right now.
This is really fun.
Yeah. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling great. You?
Good. Yeah, good.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a little tired.
Yeah.
I mean, our listeners should know that this is the second show we're taping of the night.
Oh, my gosh. We're going crazy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So it's got a 93% certified fresh rating on Rotten Tomatoes based on 57 reviews. It's a really well-reviewed
57
thing.
57 reviews is not a big... That's not a lot to base...
You think it's not enough?
I think it's not enough.
All right, well, if you're listening to this, you want to go review Rocky. But I, as you said, I think it held up. I think the one thing, the one sin it created is... It more or less invented the training montage, as far as I can tell.
Yeah.
And that has been so overused.
Da, 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 da,
right.
da, da.
It's been used
I
so
do it.
Many
on
times.
My way here on Miranda, I do a little running thing.
Yeah, that's just because you're scared.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
So I do it like this. Da-da-da! 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 pig would say that.
Da-da-da! Not the face.
Not the face.
All right. So there we go. Wait, I'm just checking my notes. We do have notes.
Yeah, we have notes.
All right. So, yes. Are you ready?
All right. So the verdict on Rocky. The verdict.
Yeah, what is your verdict on whether you should go see Creed 2 based on having watched Rocky?
Well,
this segment is so poorly conceived.
It's not true.
We just want to talk about movies.
This is an absolute.
We come up with this awful framework.
No, this is a guideline.
Yes.
To the movie goer.
All righty then, Paula Poundstone. What's your advice as to what we should do here?
I think that Creed 1 was probably a fluke if it was good.
Uh-huh.
And that I wouldn't risk my $14 on the sequel to the spin-off sequel to the sequel to the sequel to the sequel. I just think,
as usual, I don't agree because I thought, but it has nothing to do with that first Rocky movie. I just thought Creed 1 was a really good movie, and I would want to see what happens in that guy's life.
You want to see what happens in what the young Creed guy's
young
life?
Young Creed's life, yeah,
yeah.
So I'd say see it. Paula says don't see it, which is more or less the conclusion we've come to at the end of every single one of these segments. We don't even have to watch the movies now. But we did, and that was Movie Reviews to save you the trouble of seeing the sequel.
Have you ever wondered why we call French fries French fries? Or why something is the greatest thing since sliced bread? There are answers to those questions. Everything Everywhere Daily is a podcast for curious people who want to learn more about the world around them. Every day, you'll learn something new about things you never knew you didn't know. Subjects include history, science, geography, mathematics, and culture. If you're a curious person and want to learn more about the world you live in, just subscribe to Everything Everywhere Daily, wherever you cast your pod.
Hey, listener, it's Zach Harper, Amin El-Hassan, and Anthony Mays of Cinephobe. You may be asking yourself, what is Cinephobe? Amin, would you like to fill in the people?
Cinephobe is the podcast where Zach and I watch movies that are poorly rated on Rotten Tomatoes and try to ascertain.
We're trying to ascertain?
Yes.
Okay. Ascertain.
Whether or not they're accurately poorly rated, or maybe they didn't get a fair shake. Cinephobe, produced by this guy, Anthony Mays.
Hey, that's me. I produced this show. I also watch the movies, even though that wasn't included in the description, and I also ascertain. This month is...
Whoa!
Oh, Maze, why do you say that? Supercharge it. So that this promo can remain evergreen.
McCavity! I feel like explaining a little bit more.
In 60 seconds?
I don't know. Maybe I don't bring attention to it. Assuring people like, look, if you listen, you're going to get it. Just give it time.
That's a good promo. Just listen to it.
Give it time.
You'll figure it out.
Is this the promo right now?
Isn't it?
Okay, I think we got it.
Cinephobe.
Wherever you get podcasts.
The spread of misinformation has fueled our cultural divide and increased our collective anxiety about the future. Tackling misinformation isn't a simple task, but it's important. And that's why I'm so excited to tell you about Conspirituality, a podcast that's dismantling New Age cults, wellness grifters, and conspiracy mad yogis.
On the show, a journalist, a cult researcher, and a philosophical skeptic walk into a bar, and the bartender says, no, it's not that old joke. They dive deep into current events such as RFK Jr.'s involvement in mainstreaming dangerous anti-vax rhetoric.
Urgh.
They crowdsource, research, analyze, and dream up answers to the problem with, get this, proven science as their ultimate guiding light.
I highly recommend you check out Conspirituality's fascinating episodes on creating comedy in the MAGAverse with Jordan Klepper or RFK Jr. flirting with body fascism.
And you've listened to a bunch of them at this point, Paul, I know, and you tell me you love it.
I do. They're fascinating, and my favorite part is they use, wait for it, proven science.
And
if there's any kids listening, that's a class we used to take. Proven science as their ultimate guiding light. I love that.
From exploring cults to analyzing our cultural and political landscape, the Conspirituality podcast will help you stay informed about misinformation and help you resist fear tactics. Find Conspirituality on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. All right. Thank you, House Band Craig Eastman. Paula, our listeners have a lot to say, and they have a lot of questions for us.
But I have a question for you.
Okay.
How are you feeling?
Why do you keep asking me that? Do I look okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you look fantastic. How do I look?
You look great.
Thanks.
All right. This is the best Thanksgiving ever.
I think it's about time that we open up the old mailbag and see what's on our listeners' minds. Do you want to field some of their questions?
Absolutely.
Craig Eastman, can we have some mailbag music?
I'm having such a good time right
now. Me too. This is a gas. That's the music I had in mind as well. Thank you, Craig Eastman. Paula, our first letter is from Melissa in Tempe, Arizona. You want to read her thing?
I'll read it. Every morning, I have to wake my 15-year-old son up for school, and every morning he gives me attitude and goes back to sleep. It takes me 30 minutes to get him up. Do you have any suggestions on how to wake him up?
Yeah, I do.
Boy, yeah.
Wait 5 years. I mean, that's just a teenage thing. Teenagers.
You can't just wait 5 years for your kid to go to high school.
Yeah, I guess not.
Yeah.
All right,
yeah.
So I'm not saying my advice is good.
That's not good advice.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a tough one, though, I gotta say.
But you had that with your teens, right? They love sleeping when they hit like 15 or 16.
Well, not the girls, but, my son. If it takes you 30 minutes to wake him up, I guess my advice would be, go in at 5 o'clock. Start earlier. Start the waking up process earlier.
You wouldn't say, throw ice water into bed or anything?
Oh, no. That's not.
Clatter some garbage can lids like you might in a military flick?
You know, honestly, I didn't do good at this one myself. Okay, one thing I'm going to say is make sure there's no screens in the room. No screens in the room, because a lot of times that's part of the reason why kids can't get up is because they were up all night playing on their flat things.
So it's possible.
No screens.
I remember from
my
teen years, though, I didn't have a flat thing back then.
Yeah, and you still wouldn't get out of bed. Oh, come on. You went to school every day.
No, my parents would wake me up, and then my dad...
And you'd go back to sleep? That's not true.
It's absolutely true.
That's a ridiculous...
I have such vivid memories of my dad's second and third increasingly angry times waking me up.
That is not a true story at all.
Why do you
were like a little nerd. You were out there with your book bag. Wait at the
That's
corner.
That's really not true.
It is true.
No.
You're at the corner waiting for the bus, and the bus driver had to encourage you to sit further back in the bus because you wanted to sit right beside the bus driver and
tell him where to turn. No.
Turn here.
No, that wasn't me at all.
That's exactly
No, you have it completely
true.
Wrong.
Only a pig would say that.
That's what I was thinking right there.
Yeah.
Well, no. I was frequently late to school, often absent on purpose when I wasn't sick. I didn't love junior high, for instance, or high school.
Junior high? You're already acting out in junior high?
I wasn't acting out. I was sleeping in.
Oh, that's acting out.
Is it?
Sleeping
I felt
in.
A bit more, I felt it was more like, you know what? I'm not going to learn that much today. Let me just sleep.
Okay. Which one of us is a genius and which one of us is just here every show?
Wow. Just like that. You've exposed the fact that you don't think being just here every show is that much of a compliment. Your 4-week charade is over, Paula Poundstone.
Yeah,
you just went ahead and used that on me. You weaponized that.
I just thought it would be fun to throw it out.
What kind of a pig would do that?
Only a pig would say that!
All right. Well, we failed to give any good advice on this one.
Let's start earlier. Let me just say, I share your pain, Melissa.
Mm-hmm. Here's a question from Sandra Groff in Fort Myers, Florida.
Wow, that's painful.
I would enjoy hearing your advice on how to age well. What tips do you have for keeping a healthy and happy mind, body, and spirit as the years go by? Now, I would imagine this advice starts with wear your pants just up to where your breasts end.
Right. Well, I like my breasts coming slightly over.
Slightly over, like a necktie.
Pants. Okay. Sandra, you also seem to be insinuating that I'm already... aging. I get that.
How dare
I get that. No, you're absolutely right. You know, I'll tell you.
Because the pants can't be that high, Paula.
No, the pants are high.
They're
the pants
high.
Are very high. I take extra care with my personal hygiene.
Do you?
What do? I take drum lessons, and I take Taekwondo and self-defense. And I'm not going to be a drummer, and I'm not going to defend myself.
Okay.
I do it because I'm hoping that it keeps
my brain. Your mind and body sharp.
I'm telling myself that, and of course, I highly recommend the nacho-flavored Doritos and the double stuffed Oreos.
Now you're just identifying a habit that you have.
Yeah. No, I do drink a lot of water, and I feel better when I'm drinking a lot of water.
Okay, I've
seen
you drink maybe half a cup of water tonight.
Oh, come on, look at the size of that water bottle.
But you've also put down two or three Diet Pepsis.
Okay, I didn't say I didn't drink other things.
Okay, just water is important.
Okay, Sandra, apparently one of the ways I keep my youthful physique
yes.
is that I pee constantly.
Yeah, you do pee a lot.
I do, because I drink several sodas and a huge tankard of water every evening when I'm here.
Yeah.
So, but I do those things to try to stay vital.
And you are vital. You're definitely vital.
Did you just say I'm vital?
Yeah.
Oh.
I think you're vital. That should go in a theme song.
You. Yeah.
You could come up with other adjectives for me, too, out there, by the way, if you want to, out there.
Yeah. Yeah. Vital. That's very complimentary. Thank you.
Yeah. Genius, vital. Yeah.
Genius.
You're stacking them up.
Yeah.
I'm here.
Yeah.
Joey from Charlotte, North Carolina, wondered about your sleep pattern on the road. He writes, you want me to read Joey's?
Sure, go ahead. Read what Joey said.
Hey, Paula, I know you sleep on the floor at home. But I'm just assuming if his name is Joey, he might sound like this.
Yeah.
Hey, although it's from North Carolina.
Yeah.
I think he moved there from Brooklyn.
Have you ever done your Joseph Stalin impression?
Yes. Yeah. He sounds like that too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Paul.
Hey. What? Yeah. Hey, who asked Hitler to come in here, huh? Hitler, get out of my country. I'm going to repel your invasion. How do you like that, you Nazis?
Boy, that sounds just like him.
Yeah, anyway. So Joey writes, hey, Paula, I know you sleep on the floor at home, but what do you do at hotels? Do you drag the mattress onto the floor or sleep on a hotel floor without a mattress? Or do you just go slumming and sleep in the hotel bed like everybody else?
Well, Joey, you know what? I do sleep in the hotel bed, but I'll tell you why. It's so that if the hotel fairy comes by, they can slip something underneath the mattress for me.
The hotel fairy?
Yeah, the hotel fairy.
Who's the hotel fairy?
I don't know.
Oh, in a world where there might be a hotel fairy, you want to be ready.
There is a hotel fairy, yes.
Yes.
They leave things for
you. Like what
they
kind of things? Have you ever had anything left for you by the hotel fairy?
Oh, yes.
Like what?
I've had conditioners and shampoos.
Yeah, that's
chocolates.
They leave that there.
The hotel fairy leaves that
there,
No,
not
there,
the
yes.
hotel fairy. It's probably the people who clean your room and make your bed leave that.
No.
That's not a fairy.
Yeah, that's a hotel fairy.
I'm pretty sure it's not.
Pens and notepads.
But you do sleep in a bed on hotels. I know this about you.
Yes, I do. Because I don't know where that floor has been.
Wow.
Where's my floor at home?
Wow, your ability to trust hotel bedspreads just boggles my mind. Because if I was looking at one place in a hotel I don't want to be, it's on that bedspread.
No, you know what they say is the dirtiest thing in the hotel room is the... channel changer, the remote control thing. For the television, which is why I never sleep on that.
Why would that be? Okay. Why would that be the dirtiest thing?
I don't know, because I don't even want to go into it. I don't know. People
I guess it doesn't,
do
it doesn't get cleaned
it.
A lot?
Yeah. Everybody touches it.
I would go bedspread. Bedspread 1,000 times in a row, I would say. Bedspread's got to be the worst thing.
Yeah. Well, that pig would say that!
Okay. Well performed.
Yeah,
all right. Lastly, we have a Dr. Mark French writing about
Are you drawn to me in any way?
Yeah, sure. Why?
Just wondering.
You've been asking me a lot of questions like that tonight. I'm not really sure where you're going with this.
No, I'm just wondering.
Yeah,
I'm really having fun tonight.
I'm having a great
just
time
to say
too.
That.
Yeah, this is the best Thanksgiving ever. Were you just being drawn to me right there?
No.
It looked like a psych gag where you were leaning in towards me.
I did lean in towards you, but no,
okay.
I wasn't being drawn to you.
You just happened to be there.
Yeah.
You've been here all along. Dr. Mark French writes about a remarkable development in his life. You want to read this one, or should I?
Wait, Dr. Mark French.
You're going to like reading this
find
one.
Find it. Dr. Mark French.
It's on page 4.
Here it is. You've talked about enjoying ping pong. I'm a professor at Purdue and have developed a device that shoots ping pong balls, supersonics, max far is Mach 1.8, about 1,370 mph. Nobody is going to return that serve. In fact, my students and I regularly shoot ping pong balls right through paddles.
That's Dr. Mark French from West Lafayette, Indiana. Now,
does he teach?
I'm guessing he teaches some sort of science, probably physics. But he has constructed a device, or so he says, that can fire a ping pong ball almost twice the speed of sound. 1.8 is
almost
twice. And
it goes right through a ping pong paddle?
If it's going that fast, it would.
Well, what could possibly be the use of a thing like that?
Well, that's a reasonably good question.
Yeah.
But he does, I do want to point out, he has managed to get a ping pong ball at nearly twice the speed of sound.
I didn't even know what the speed of sound was.
Well, Mach 1 is the speed of sound. If I'm not mistaken, you know, I spent so much time sleeping in junior
high
school.
That, right. Oh, yeah. Tell me about that again. But yeah. But never went to school, Adam. He slept all the time. Yeah. I believe Mach 2 is twice the speed of sound.
I think Mach basically means the speed of sound. Like Mach 1 is the speed of sound.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Which is somewhere in the range of, I don't know, 700, 800 miles an hour.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I can't even imagine a use for a ping pong ball shooter that goes 1,370 miles per hour.
You've got a pretty good serve.
I have an okay serve, but it's not going to go 1,370 miles per hour.
No, you don't break the sound barrier at all.
No. And I never have. And I wouldn't want my ping pong paddles to have holes in them.
Yeah.
Yeah, that just doesn't seem like
no,
a good
I don't
idea
think this is
all.
A ping pong strategy that we're reading here. I think this is a physics professor bragging about something.
Oh,
I
see. That he's managed to make
he's
ping
managed
pong
to make
goals.
A ping pong ball travel at nearly twice the speed of sound, which I think is impressive.
Yeah.
And interesting.
Remember Captain Kangaroo? You might be too young.
I do remember Captain Kangaroo.
Well,
I did not like Captain Kangaroo.
There used to be he had a moose on the wall, and then all these ping pong balls would come down. I can't.
Wow!
If they had this machine,
it would have killed the moose.
It would have killed the moose. Exactly.
Right.
There's a very dark story here behind the ping pong balls.
Wow!
Wow! All right, but anyway,
so
thank you for
reached back
us.
to Captain Kangaroo just so you could relate the story of the moose and the ping pong balls.
It's also how I learned the word obsolete.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I learned it on Captain Kangaroo.
In what context did Captain Kangaroo
He used the word obsolete, and he explained what it meant.
Wow.
Yeah.
Was he talking about his career?
If you... No, by the way, Captain Kangaroo, what the heck is his real name? Oh, I can't think of it right now. Bob Keesham.
Kangaroo.
Bob Keesham.
Bob Kangaroo.
Bob Keesham was actually a very smart man.
Was he?
And in that Mr. Rogers way. I saw him on the NewsHour one time.
I didn't like Mr. Rogers either. All the sentimentality.
Oh, for God's sake!
All the sentimentality for Mr. Rogers, and I feel like I'm left out of the party because Mr. Rogers was the thing that I had to endure because my older brother liked it while I waited for Sesame Street and the really funny stuff to come on.
Yeah, you were asleep. You paid no attention. You did all your sleep. You did all your learning was sleep taught.
No, it wasn't.
You used to have these.
Slept a lot as a teenager.
You used to have these tapes that you would play beside your bed while you slept.
No,
and one of them was an engineering thing.
Yeah, I guess it was. No, it wasn't. But my point is that what was my point? It was that Captain Kangaroo was not entertaining to me.
Yeah.
And there was that Mr. Green Jeans, right?
Yeah.
I'm pretty much against anybody who's identified by their pants.
Huh.
Even SpongeBob creeps me out.
Yeah, I was about
to
say, SpongeBob must bother you a lot.
A little bit, yeah.
SquarePants. Yeah. Yeah. Well, whatever. Anyways, it was another use of ping pong balls and this high speed ping pong. I'm not sure where Dr. French would use this fast ping pong ball thing.
Well, in a reasonably good science fiction movie, it would be the solution to some problem. Somebody would tell him it's useless 20 minutes into the movie, and then it would cut down the alien at the end.
Like if it was in, what was that thing that was out the last year that I didn't care for? The water. What was it, water?
Just
the Shape of Water.
Everything. The Shape of Water. You didn't like The Shape of Water.
I didn't like The Shape of Water. But if it had a machine that could shoot ping pong balls,
yeah,
would have been fantastic.
Much better.
If we take the Rocky movie, for example, if Creed 2 has a machine that can shoot ping pong balls,
which it doesn't,
that you don't know that.
I don't know that.
Yeah, you don't know that. It's a good film.
Yeah. Well, if you have questions, comments, concerns, or just want to torture Tony Anita Hull a little bit, write to us at nobodylistenstopaulapoundstone@gmail.com. The cat of the week is Beans from Encino, California.
Jesus fucks.
Get ready for the miracle of Mega, a comedy podcast from the staff of a fictional mega church.
And not only does he fuck, but he's the best at it.
I'm Holly Loren.
And I'm Greg Hess.
Our characters, Hallie and Gray, welcome a new guest each week, played by some of the biggest names in comedy and podcasting.
Like Scott Aukerman, Lauren Lapkus, Paul Scheer, Jason Mantzoukas, Cecily Strong, and Duncan Trussell.
I just love to think about that, the light shining down on all those corpses in the water and Noah just going by and maybe a mom being like, please, we're running out of energy. Can you please let us on the boat?
It's completely improvised and it's devilishly funny.
Is there any question you have for us about, you know, what it means to live a life in Christ?
I guess, how much do you think is bullshit?
There's a new episode every Sunday.
Listen and subscribe to Mega, wherever you get your podcasts.
Best I ever had. Best I y'all can do it. Y'all can do it. Y'all sing along. You know what I'm saying? Here go. Jesus, you the best.
Jesus, you're the best.
You to be the best.
Jesus, you're Jesus, the best. You the best.
Okay, never mind.
Best I ever had. Best wow. I ever had.
Don't want to spend time with your cranky Uncle Carl this Thanksgiving? Find a quiet hiding space under the stairs, in the car, in the little used sauna, and take a listen to some of these other fine Maximum Fun podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dave.
Hi, I'm Graham.
And we're two house DJs who have been trapped inside our drum machine.
We love it here, and we'd love if you stopped by and visited us every week on Stop Podcasting Yourself
here on MaximumFun.org.
We're just a couple of doofuses from Canada.
And listen to our show or perish. Stop Podcasting Yourself
on MaximumFun.org.
Hey, Kira. So, Max FunCon tickets go on sale this Friday, November 23rd at 11 a.m. Pacific, and I'm trying to write a promo.
Okay, so what do they need to know to look forward to? Inspiring classes.
Live podcast tapings.
A stand-up showcase.
The s'mores party.
Making new friends.
Don't forget about the dance party!
Oh, and it all takes place on a beautiful mountaintop.
Okay, got it. Anything else?
Well, if we missed anything, they can find all the details at maxfuncon.com.
And we'll see you in June.
I think that went really well.
That was really good, too.
That sounded good.
Great job!
Oh, thank you, house band Craig Eastman. That sounds fantastic. Now, Paula, I want to announce something, because Thanksgiving is traditionally the beginning of the holiday season.
Yeah.
Black Friday is upon us.
Oh, yeah.
Which is the Friday after Thanksgiving where everybody starts shopping. Well, right. Now you can do some shopping related to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone.
Thank goodness.
And that is, we are introducing our Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone t-shirt in the Maximum Fun store.
Nice.
It's 100% cotton. You can go to maxfunstore.com and get yourself a t-shirt any size, from like extra small to 3XL.
The color is a blackberry.
It's like a deep navy.
It's a very deep navy, and it has a Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone logo on the front and an effective piece of advice on the back.
A piece of advice on the back, absolutely.
An effective
A piece of advice
piece
is on the back of, that
advice.
Shirt, for sure.
Do you feel drawn to me in any way?
In some ways. I'm not sure what you're getting at, and it's starting to create sort of a... an oppressive atmosphere in some ways.
An oppressive atmosphere?
Yeah. I feel like you've asked me that so many times, and you're looking at me while you're doing that, and it's starting to make me feel a little uncomfortable.
Well, I am really having fun.
I'm having fun, too, but now I'm feeling more and more reluctant to say so. Now you're leaning really close to me. I feel like in moments from now, you're going to be leaning on the door to keep me from going.
Yeah. No, I'm not going to block you in.
You're not going to block me in.
I'm not going to pull a Rocky on you.
Okay, because it feels like that's where this is going at this point.
sort of Me Too-y?
Yeah, it's a little Me Too-y, because you keep asking me if I'm having a good time.
Yeah.
Now I feel like there's going to be an and. There's going to be an ask at the end of that. I'm a little uncomfortable.
But, so you're feeling uncomfortable?
No, I'm feeling good. I'm having a good time. I'm really enjoying this podcast. And the drawn to me question is the one that really has been kind of lighting up my alarm bells.
Yeah. So it's making you uncomfortable.
If I wasn't having such a good time,
then you would be left with just a feeling of discomfort.
Yes.
Okay.
But I'm having a good time. So
I'm glad.
Don't worry
it.
About me.
Me too. I'm having a really good time.
You said that. Now you're leaning really close. Okay. Paula. Tell me, it's really late at night now. Paula, tell me, where are you headed in the next few weeks? I have no intention of following you there, but tell our listeners.
I'm having a really good time.
Me too. Get on the microphone.
I don't want to go anywhere else. I'm having.
God damn it.
Such a good time.
That's just weird now.
All right, where am I?
Where are you going?
I have no idea. I'll be in Davis, California at UC Davis on November 30th and in San Francisco on New Year's Eve at the Norse.
Fantastic. If you want to get more information about Paula's touring dates, check out her website, which we call www.paulapoundstone.com.
You can follow me and Adam on Twitter, and you can follow me on Instagram. I really don't know if I've posted anything, but by golly, I've tried.
On Instagram?
Yeah.
Well, I'm on Instagram, too. I mean,
oh,
I
didn't know that.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Do you know how to post the things?
On Instagram?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty much the same way that you'd post something on Facebook, yeah, or Twitter.
No, it's not the same at all.
It's similar.
It's very... The people who can do Instagram are amazing.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, and you can also find us on Facebook, Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone.
Oh, one more thing.
What?
As it's the season of giving thanks, I would truly be so thankful if you would purchase one of my remarkably soft Tri-Poly Blend t-shirts. I mean, you too will be thankful that you bought it.
Now, that's the one that you're talking about, the t-shirt at www.paulapoundstone.com, which
Listen,
is not the
get...
Max Fun store t-shirt.
No, that's two different t-shirts. You can get two different t-shirts. And
Poundstone-related t-shirts.
Yeah, that should keep you covered.
Yeah, absolutely.
Certainly through the winter.
Yeah. I mean, especially if you don't change a lot. Your t-shirt is not a Tri-Poly Blend, though. I've been trying to say this a lot.
And you don't feel any differently about that now?
What? Because we've had a good time tonight?
Yes.
No, I don't feel like I'm just going to abrogate responsibility for bringing facts to this show just because you're smiling at me in a somewhat creepy manner. That's not really how I work, Paula Poundstone.
Just wondering.
Okay. No, no.
Just
no.
Wondering.
What I was saying is that the Tri-Poly Blend is not a thing.
Of course it's a thing. It's remarkably soft.
All right, it's a tri-blend, Paula.
Yeah, no, it's a tri-poly blend.
No, it's a tri-blend. It's a blend of rayon, polyester, and cotton. Technically, it's not a tri-poly blend.
No. In fact, there's a scene in Rocky where Adrian yells at her brother, and she goes, "Tri-poly!"
That's Pauly.
Oh.
Pauly is the brother's name.
Oh, I thought you called him Tri-Poly.
No,
mistake.
No.
Tri-Poly.
No, Tri-Poly. Yeah. He's like I'm going to get you out of this house. Tri-Poly.
Yeah, no one, people have forgotten what the last name of Adrian and Pauly was. But
what
it's
was it?
Blend.
It is not. Although it could be, because I don't think we ever learned their names.
Tri-Poly Blend. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, that's...
Only a pig would say that.
Well, I think it's time to head into the kitchen and stick my head in the oven. Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone is hosted by Paula Poundstone and yours truly, Adam Felber. Somebody please send help. Produced by Paula Poundstone, Adam Felber, Bonnie Burns, Ken Lezebnik, Stop Leaning, and Tony Anita Hall. Technical direction by Ray Horseman. Special thanks to tonight's house band, the mighty, mighty Craig Eastman on the fiddle. Thanks to our head of security, Jonah Knuckles Glickman.
All right, before we end the show,
I have
to say, Herbal Essence is not irresistible.
You didn't. Were you testing a product claim?
I was testing a product claim.
Throughout tonight's show. And because I was able to resist you.
You were really able to resist
like,
me.
Like no problem.
No.
Yeah.
It was. Yeah, not even a second. I leaned in.
You were doing that this whole show.
I leaned in, you leaned out.
Yes.
Is what I could tell.
Yeah.
I used, tonight before I came, I used Herbal Essence conditioner on my hair.
And for those of you who haven't been tuning into this, Paula is kind of dead set on testing out advertising slogan claims.
Yeah.
Not the claims of what the thing does, but like what the slogan says.
Yeah, it may, I could run my pick smoothly through my hair after using the conditioner, but what they claim online and in the gift package of three items, they claim that their fragrance is irresistible.
And you decided to test that tonight
by
doing all that creepy shit you were doing.
I gotta say,
you made it easier to resist with that.
So what I did was...
I don't feel like we have a control group here.
I wanted the listener to know because I didn't wear my hat on purpose because I wanted to give the fragrance a chance to,
There's a nice fresh fragrance in the air, but, your dog is also here.
Yeah, well... I bathed the dog in that as well, and I noticed that you weren't attracted to the dog either.
I don't
so you're off the hook.
So
I wanted the listener to know when I, because I want, I would lean towards you.
Oh.
But the listener wasn't going to know when I was leaning towards you because, you know, it's an audio medium.
Absolutely. So you set up a situation where I would be saying it.
So I know, so I made a code phrase for the listener. So whenever I said, I'm having a really good time, I would lean in.
Oh.
To give you a chance to notice the fragrance.
So were you not having a good time?
I was having a great time.
Okay.
Yeah.
As long as I knew you weren't lying to me.
No, I wasn't lying to you. Okay. And I don't think you were lying to me either.
No,
you
I was having a great time.
You were totally able to resist.
Oh, easily.
You didn't pretend to be attracted in the least.
Well, no, I wouldn't. I didn't know it was, I was, as you know, this was a blind study.
Yeah, it was a blind
study. As we
study.
Say in the world of science. But No, I didn't realize there was anything to resist.
Yeah.
And I had no trouble resisting it.
Yeah. No, you had no trouble at all.
In fact, you ended up creeping me out. It's partly because we were talking about the Me Too moment in Rocky, and it felt to me like you were sort of Stalloning it up a little bit. I didn't realize you were herbalizing.
I didn't block the door. I simply leaned my head towards you.
In a very creepy way.
I'm having a really good time right now.
Yeah, I saw you do that time and time again. I did not know what you were doing. So, I guess mission accomplished?
Yeah.
You proved the herbalescence.
Totally resistible.
Now, is there another goal that you have in doing this thing that you're doing other than limiting our list of potential sponsors?
Yeah, cross that off the list.
Thank you, Herbalife, but no thanks.
No herbalescence.
Yeah. All right, well, that was a great show. We want to thank everybody that we just thanked, and
I'm having such a good time.
Well, me too, but
won't somebody please listen to me? Only Pig would say that!
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture. Artist owned.
Listener supported.